Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. And it is trials weekend at Cheltenham. The Cheltenham Festival gets closer and we are going to find plenty of clues for the big one. Not just that, some top class action to look forward to. We're going to be looking in detail at all five live races on ITV from Cheltenham, including the Unibet Hurdle featuring Sugino. We'll have exclusive thoughts from Nicky Henson on the show this week about his chances ahead of the Cheltenham Festival. And of course, on Constitution Hill as well. Why not? We'll also be looking at the Cotswold Chase, where Grey Dawning looks to enhance his Gold Cup credentials, and the Cleef Hurdle. We've got Stairs Hurdle, big candidate in Impostoire, leading the line. We'll also be looking at Doncaster, three live races there, including the River Don, a very, very good indicator for the Albert Bartlett. So without further ado, let's introduce this week's panel, looking to hunt our trials day winners. In the top right, if you're watching along, is our Northern man, Matt Rennie. I'm sure he'll have plenty of expertise at Doncaster in particular. Bottom left, Graham Rodway, as always, Racing Post tipster. And a man in sizzling hot form this winter, Ed Nicholson, after, I believe, what was it, four winners last week, the week before, a 22-1 winning nap. Boys, this is the standard Ed is going to set. So, Ed Nicholson from Unibet, keep up the good work. Let's get straight into it and straight to Cheltenham. It's been a pretty wet week here ahead of the racing. Probably going to be looking at soft ground as we record here on Thursday afternoon. The first race we're looking at is the 1:15 at Cheltenham. This is the Betfair Exchange Handicap Chase, where we have a short price favourite in Jaguar at 7-4. Really short price for a big competitive Cheltenham 2.5 mile handicap, but maybe he is just a simple winner. Jaguar is 7-4, the Cheltenham Festival winner. Booster Bob at 7-2. Javert Alain, 15-2. Triple Trade loves the course at 10-1. Mundo Orange, 11s. Uncle Bert, 12s, along with Prairie Wolf. Boomborn, 14-1, along with Risk in the Ground. Donica, 18-1. And Hurricane Bay, the 33-1 outsider. Ed, you are in sizzling form. Hope it continues. What do you like in our first?
Yeah, first race at Cheltenham looks an interesting event. The top two in the market take out over 50% in the betting market, and there's a reason for that, because I think they're the two most likely winners, and one of them should win. Jaguars two from three at Cheltenham, won the plate last year at the festival and ran well in the December Gold Cup, but didn't manage to win, finishing third. Been nudged a pound up for that that third place. I think he's got a chance. I think his Cheltenham form should hold him in good stead. Opposite with Bolster Bob. I don't think he likes the undulating tracks and Newbury and Utox to two flat tracks that he's excelled at. The hood's off again today, which seemed to work at Newbury. But yeah, I think there's reasons to oppose Booster Bob. He's up £9 as well. Jaguar's just up a pound for that excellent third at Cheltenham. So he'd be the selection, Jaguar.
Jaguar, yeah, we lost you in between there, Ed, a little bit. But Jaguar is your selection. We continue on. Matt, we've got a hot favourite in Jaguar, of course, trained in the north. Are you going with the Northern Raider at Cheltenham in our opener?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think he's going to be prime for this time of the year, like he was exactly the same last year. He won the novice handicap chase on the card a year ago before going on to the plate. And I did think, and you know, he had a stop start to the season not through injury or anything like that. He was due to run in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, but the conditions completely went against him and the connections didn't want to fancy him on the really testing ground. So if Cheltenham gets more rain than possible or anticipated, that could be a little worry. But as you say, I think he's being given a chance by the handicap of going up only £1. I do feel he's in that sort of grade 1.5 horse bracket now and should be able to outclass these. The only horse I could see running well at a price, he's double figures at the moment, is Moon d'Orange. He won the race last year, but Alex Harvey's £3 claim means he effectively races off £2 lower this time. So he might be an each way shout, but Jaguar is very, very, he's a very strong fancy.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear, Matt, what a grade 1.5 is, but I know exactly what you mean, because Graham, this is a bit of a conundrum, isn't it? Because we've got a horse here who we thought at the start of the season could be a Ryanair horse. But then I also look at this race and think, cool, it's a big Cheltenham handicap on a Saturday. We know how competitive these races over 2.5 miles always are at Cheltenham. 7-4 seems awfully slim. Will he just be too good?
I think he will be too good, yeah, James. I look at this race and just see him being in a different class to the rest of them. He's a grade 1.5 horse, as Matt put it. Somewhere in between grade 2 and grade 1. And he's running off a mark of 149 against mainly handicappers, isn't he? Booster Bob's got the potential to be better, but I think the Jaguar's got a really, really good record around Cheltenham, hasn't he? And he arguably should have won first time up. I mean, it was a messy old race, wasn't it? Glenn Gooley managed to dictate it from the front. Jaguar didn't jump very well. He ended up poorly positioned. I think it'll be a bit sharper at his fences with that run behind him, and I think it'd be far too good for this lot. So that's a full house, isn't it, James, for Jaguar in this opener at Cheltenham 115?
Yes, it is indeed a full house, Graham. Let's move on to the 150. This is the Glenfarclas Cross Country Handicap. We've got another short price, 7-4 favourite in this one as well. Gerard Delest, I should say, for Emmett Mullins, the Irish Raider. He's 7-4 favourite. Final orders back for his first try at Cheltenham since winning the Pardubice and, of course, the cross country at last year's Cheltenham Festival. Issio Malik is 7-1. Placenet, 9-1. Favoir de Chamdu is 11-1. Unanswered Prayers, 12-1. Tommy Bow, 14s. Late Night Pass, 18. Some Scope, 20s. Annual Invictus, 25s. Iscaria, 10-25s. Where it all began, 33-1. Matt Rennie, the cross country, what do we like?
Yeah, it's normally a race I don't particularly have a bet in, just because it is it's your weird and wacky races in a way, isn't it? Look, Final Orders was very, very good in the handicap meet at the December meeting. He's been hit by the handicap quite hard for that. So I'd probably play it safe, be really boring and go for the favourite, Jarib Delest, who probably has a lot more to give in this company, given he's only a seven-year-old. First run was very promising for Emmett Mullins over this course, and he's only up £3. So there's a lot more veterans in these kind of races you get these days, and he just looks like he might just have a really unexposed progressive profile to come in these type of contests.
Jerry Delest is Matt's selection, and he quite rightly corrects that Stumptown was also, I was mentioning at the start, not Final Orders. Stumptown, of course, the winner in the Czech Republic. Final Orders, of course, winner here in December. How can you get those two confused? They're so similar, aren't they, Graham? What's your selection here?
I don't really know what's going to win this. I mean, I often take this sort of view of these sort of cross-country races, but I do like a little play in them just because it's a bit fun, isn't it? And I like to bet ones at big prices, and I take a chance on Annual Invictus. He's got some really good form over hurdles at Cheltenham, and he's quite significantly lower than when he was second in the Bet365 Gold Cup a couple of years ago behind Manella Kakuna. He's £6 lower now. He's shown absolutely nothing on his last two starts, and he's never run around a cross-country track. But if it does burst him back into life, shall we say, or relight the fire, or whatever you want, sort of pseudonym you want to use, I think that Annual Invictus could run a big race at a big price. But it's not a race that I particularly will be lumping on anything in, but I wouldn't put you off a little each way on Annual Invictus, James.
25-1 for the Gordons, who are having a fantastic season. And Ed, finally, what's your verdict on the 150 at Cheltenham?
Yeah, interestingly, soft ground, as you stated earlier on. I think most people thought it was going to be a bit quicker on the cross-country course, but it doesn't look like it is. Again, the top two in the market taking out a large percentage of the market, first and second in the December race. And I think the second, Jarib Delest, got £6 for a 4.5 or 4.25 length beating. That was the first time that Jarib Delest had run for Emmett Mullins, first time he'd run since March. With the turnaround in the weights, there's every chance that he could turn around the form and win. Jarib Delest, which has arrived from the east, actually arrived to Emmett Mullins from the northwest of France, so coming from Daniel Millet's stable. But I think they'll go back a winner. And I think maybe we might be seeing this horse over the cross-country fences at Cheltenham for many years to come, just being a seven-year-old. That's obviously been while he's been bought. And I think he can get his record at Cheltenham rolling with a win on Saturday.
Okay, the favourite is Ed's selection in the 150. Let's move on to the 225s and classy horses here. Just four go to post in the Betfair Cotswold Chase. But our 225 could well be a very big Gold Cup trial. Your favourite at 8-15 is Grey Dawning, first start since winning the Betfair Chase at Haydock. He takes on Le Homme Press at 4-1, Spillane's Tower at 5s, and Flooring Porter, the Stayers Hurdle hero, is 12-1 outsider of our quartet. Graham, talk us through the Cotswold and how much of an impact might this have on the Gold Cup in March.
It's only going to have an impact if Grey Dawning wins and wins well, isn't it? I don't think anyone thinks that Lompres can win a Gold Cup at his age now. And Spillane's Tower would be a bit of a query over stamina, wouldn't he? Florian Porter's 11. So if Grey Dawning wins and wins well, then it'll be fascinating to see how he turns up in quite an open Gold Cup, won't it? You know, he's a very, very good horse. He's only beaten by Gaelic Warrior, wasn't he, last year at Aintree, having been targeted at that race. And I'm not entirely sure Aintree is his track. I mean, he's a much better horse around Cheltenham. I really like him as a horse, but I just couldn't back him at such a short price. This isn't the day, is it? Go back to, like, is this the big day? For Grey Dawning, the big day is coming up in the Gold Cup. So Dan Skelton might well have left a little bit to work on coming in after that Betfair Chase, where he must have had quite a hard race. And I just think that it's worth taking him on at such a short price. And the Florian Porter's a ridiculous price, James. Absolutely mad price. The horse loves Cheltenham, doesn't he? He's only ever been beaten around Cheltenham twice. Both times were in the Stayers Hurdle. He was second in last season's, in the 2024 Stayers Hurdle when he was last at Cheltenham behind Sir Hoopoo. He's won there over fences. I don't think he's as good over fences as he is over hurdles. However, this is a four-runner, small field race where he could quite easily get his own way out in front. And if he does, he's a very, very difficult horse to pass around Cheltenham. We've seen it many, many, many times. And I just think that he could run a huge race at a big price. So Florian Porter is the one for me, James.
The 12-1 outside of Florian Porter is Graham's selection. We talk about Grey Dawning in the Gold Cup. He is 10-1 with Unibet to triumph in March. Ed, 8-15 Grey Dawning with or against?
I'm for, because I can't see anything else being in the same class as him. Appreciate the comments made so far about Florian Porter, but he's 11, he's getting on. Is he a better chaser than he was a hurdler? I don't know. And Grey Dawning is on the upward curve. But I would say this race, as has also been mentioned, has a habit of causing problems for the favourites. I just had a quick look at short price favourites in this race over the years. Because as was mentioned, I think, by Graham, that this isn't the day for many of these horses. The day is in 6 weeks' time, and this is the final finishing touch to their kind of races most of the time. But if you look over the years, I'll just go through a few. 2014, Rocky Creek beaten at 6-4. Thistlecrack beaten at 4-9. Bristol Domain beaten at 7-4. Elegant Eclipse beaten at 2-1. Bristol Domain again beaten. Protectorate beaten at 5-4. I mean, there's lots of horses that don't win this that probably should. So I won't actually be backing Grey Dawning at 4-7, 8-15, but I hope he wins, because it'll make it a more interesting Gold Cup if he does go there and go there with a chance.
Okay, interesting selections there, Ed. Interesting thoughts, should I say. And Matt, finish us off. You know, we've not talked much about Lompres. I mean, decent enough run at Cheltenham. I mean, he's a classy horse on his day. We know he loves Cheltenham. This has been the target. Would he be one you're looking at, or are you with a favourite?
Yeah, like, I probably wouldn't have a bet on this race if I have to. I did mark down Lompres there. I just thought it was a funny but encouraging run at Cheltenham last time. He looked like he was going to be pulled up at some stage. He was off the bit for a long, long way, and still stayed on really, really well. It might just be, given he's in his advanced years, he just needed the run and needed a bit of time to warm up. But as the others have said, this probably isn't going to be the be-all and end-all for Grey Dawning, but maybe the connections of Lompres have targeted and gone, well, he probably is not a grade one horse nowadays. And a grade two like the Cotswold Chase, at a place he said we know he loves, a Brown Advisory winner, last year's winner as well, might be the one where they've gone, right, let's have him cherry ripe for this year. Realistically, what you could see would happen is Grey Dawning might win by about a length and a quarter or something like that. And people would say, oh, it's workmanlike without looking at the bigger picture or anything like that. But if there is any chance he's not fully at it and the Betfair did leave a mark, I'm happy to be on Lompres's side, even though G-Rod nearly convinced me then that Florian Porter had a very good chance. He made a great case, but I'll stick with Lompres's.
Okay, I'm against you all. If I hear what you're saying about Great Dawning, I just look at it and go, 70 grand for the winner here. I don't think Dan Scant will be taking any chances. He might want to win a Gold Cup, but Great Dawning, will be ready enough. For the Betfair Cotswold Chase at 2.25, we'll move on to the 3 o'clock, and this is the big one, Ed, isn't it? The Unibet Hurdle, registered as the International Hurdle, where we have not just the thoughts of our panel, we're going to hear about the favourite for this race and potentially the Unibet Champion Hurdle, big candidate for Nicky Henson. We'll wait and see, won't we? Here is Nicky Henson on Saturday's big favourite, Sergino.
Nicky, Sergino takes his chance in the Unibet Hurdle at Cheltenham this weekend. Very much looking forward to seeing him back in action. First question, how has he come out of the Christmas Hurdle at Kempton on Boxing Day?
After that, he was fine, yeah, really good. And he's in, we haven't been doing an awful lot. He did a bit of work last weekend. And yeah, all's gone. You know, he had a school. I think, you know, he was jumping his hurdles at Kempton. You know, his last run before that was a year before in the Desert Orchid Chase. He had fences in his mind at Kempton a little bit early on. So just had a quick spin over some hurdles the other day, and he was... it's sort of getting back into hurdle mode.
That was Nicky Henson on Sergino, who leads the market at 4-11, of course, taking on the New Lion, a battle between Sergino and the New Lion. What a clash this is going to be. The New Lion is 2-1. The Mean Lion at 50-1, and Brentford Hope, last year's second, at 80-1. Ed, great to hear from Nicky Henson there. Looks like there's some confidence behind Sergino. Is he going to do the job on Saturday?
I think he should do, but I think the discrepancy in prices is too much from what we've seen on the racecourse. So Sergino's rated 163, the New Lion 159. New Lion's getting £3 on Saturday, and they're both similar types insofar as they're better to come from both of them. You would have thought their official ratings will go up as they get more experience and they run in more top class races. I think it's the wrong price in terms of what we've seen on the racecourse. There shouldn't be. I mean, that's too big a discrepancy in my mind. But it's just the way Sergino does things that you just love, isn't it? I mean, anyone that hasn't watched the Christmas Hurdle lately, go and have a look at it, because he did everything wrong in that race and he still won. First time he'd been back at the race course as well from a terrible time. He had a terrible time where, you know, they were worried he wasn't even going to come back. And he was pulling Nico's arms out early on. Still had enough to win without being touched by the persuader. I mean, it was an incredible performance to beat the reigning Unibet champion hurdler by the way he did. And he wasn't jumping his hurdles like hurdles. He was jumping them like baby fences. You know, he wasn't like Bouvet Dare or Constitution Hill or the types like that who normally, when they jump very low and quick. I think there's a lot to come. So I think that rating is going to get obviously higher. I think that he probably will win. But if you're a betting man, you couldn't bet Sergino at 4-9. I don't think the price is. So I'm just going to watch. I must say well done to Harry Derham and the connections of Brentford Hope, because they won last Saturday. They won a race that's worth £8,000 at Haydock. They get £6,500, even if it comes fourth. Actually, a bit more, because the fifth and sixth aren't there. So they probably get as much money for coming last in this race than they did for winning the Haydock race on Saturday. So well done, connections. And Nemean Lyon, obviously, he's come sixth in the Unibet Champion Hurdle before. He ran disappointingly at Windsor. So again, they're probably going for prize money. Third prize is 13,000. And the New Lion, Dan Skelton spoke to me at Sandown about this when our big day at Sandown, turn of the year. And he said he's definitely running. So this has been the plan for a long time. And the New Lion would have won the Fighting Fifth, I think, if he stayed up. So yeah, I don't think it's a gimme, but I expect Sergino to win.
Yeah, 4-2, 11 favourite, 2-1, the New Lion, as we said. Graham, Ed seems to think that those prices should be a little bit close together. Perhaps Sergino is a bit short. How do you see the Unibet Hurdle going?
He's a good horse, isn't he, Sergino? He's not really been tested yet, has he, though? He's had it all his own way, and he's won easily almost every time he's come to the track. And this is his biggest test by quite some way over hurdles. I think the New Lion's a far better horse than Golden Ace, personally. And I think it will give him an awful lot to think about here. And unlike Grey Dawning, I think that Dan Skelton has to have the New Lion very close to peak, if not at his peak year, because he's coming in off the back of a fall. He needs to know if the new lion is good enough for a champion hurdle. You know, if the new lion comes in here and gets thrashed by Sergino, he may not even turn up in the champion hurdle, mightn't he? He might even, you know, miss the race altogether and go to Aintree for the 2.5. It may end up being that new lion isn't fast enough for two. We're going to find out, and Dan Skelton needs to know, and as a result, I think he'll have the new lion right near his peak here. Sergino's got to give the new lion £3 as well, and I think getting the weight, the new lion's, that has to be the bet. He looked very good, didn't he, last season? When he passed the post in that Turners, I said straight away, that's next season champion hurdle winner. I haven't really seen too much to dissuade me from that. Obviously, it's disappointing that he fell first time out, but personally, I think he would have beaten Golden Ace quite comfortably. I know he was under pressure at the time, but for me, Golden Ace has done well to win two grade ones, but been very, very lucky. And I think the new line is a proper grade one horse. I think Harry Skelton will go out there and he'll really, really put Sergino to the sword. He'll make him pull out all the stops. And we'll find out whether Sergino is as good as he looked. Ed said it a few times. He doesn't jump like a champion hurdler to my eye. He jumps like a chaser. I reckon he's going to be a better chaser than he is hurdler, Sergino. And I'm hoping the new line's going to have too much zip for him here, James.
Okay, so we're with the new line is Graham Rodway. Ed thinks Sergino win. Matt, we were 1-1 at the standings. What do you think? How do you decide?
Yeah, I'm edging towards the new line. From a reporter's perspective, it's an absolute, I think, even though there's only four runners, it's a fascinating race. I think the crucial bit is going to come on the jumping. We obviously saw, I'm intrigued to know how the new lions fared since crashing out of Newcastle. You obviously hope this not dented any confidence there, because as Ed and Jira rightly said, the Sergino jumps like a chaser, and this could all be so crucial in the jumping, especially if the new lion is, as your records made right, more ready-made for this test rather than Sergino went for the champion hurdle. Because if he is, we know the new lion does jump like a champion hurdler in that sense of going through and gliding through the hurdles, whereas instead of giving it the air, it's just whether the fighting fifth has left a lasting mark in the mind, as we saw with Constitution Hill in the champion hurdle last year. Who knows what can happen with horses these days. But I do agree with G-Rod in the sense of this is sort of D-Day for the new lion camp. I think we all know Sergino is going to, it is a champion hurdle, well, a worthy champion hurdle favourite at this stage. And obviously there's the cliche bounce back factor, given he was off for a year and stuff. I don't know what to make of that just yet, but at the prices, I'd be really happy to take Sergino on with the new line. I mean, it is D-Day for him, and you expect, given the way Team Skelton have been this season, that they might just have him ready to win.
Yep, the new line, two shouts for him. Ed is with Sergino. And as we say, this is going to be a hugely influential race ahead of the Unibet Champion Hurdle. But we may not have thought at the start of a season, so is a flat race at Southwell. That's because Constitution Hill, in a few weeks' time, will be looking for the confidence boost on one of the Friday Night Live cards. And we're not just going to hear from Nick Henson about Sergino. Let's hear about Constitution Hill ahead of that all-important day at Southwell.
We've got to be terribly happy with the way the schooling and everything has gone. I mean, the best scenario I can find at Cheltenham are going to try and supply me with is if we get a very low sun in the champion hurdle and a bit of frost down the back straight. If there were no hurdles, it would be quite tempting, wouldn't it? But at the moment, yeah, we have this issue and there's no getting away from it. And not that I would need to get a race into him. I just think it's going to be good for him to go to the races. I'm going to say have a nice time. A mile and a half around Southwell is a very different ball game to going 2 miles around Cheltenham. But let's just see how it goes, and then we'll make a few decisions. We're still concentrating on the jumping angle, but not quite sure where we could still go. We have an appointment. Yogi Breisner, who's somebody I've always, you know, a good friend and a very good guru when it comes to jumping. He's coming, he's helping. But I'm not sure we're going to find that, you know, if you could suddenly say, that's what's happening. We can undo that. We've tried everything so far and we've had a lot of advice from a lot of people, and I thank them for it, but at the moment, nothing's going wrong. He's brilliant at home, but I can't find a reason for what's going wrong on the race course.
Okay, one more race to look at from Cheltenham, and this one is just as influential to the Cheltenham Festival as all the others. This is the 3:35 at Cheltenham Potemps Network Cleeve Hurdle. And we have a 5-6 favourite for the Henson team in Impostoire. Strong leader at 7-2. Doddy the Great, winner at last year's Cheltenham Festival at 13-2, along with Mash Shantou, could be a big player in the Potemps this season, mark my words. Gal Road, the Cheltenham regular, at 11-1. And Camson Ass for local trainer Fergal O'Brien, 25-1 outsider. Matt, we'll start with you. We've got an odds-on favourite in Impostoire. Does he just win?
Yeah, he does. I won't be backing him at the prices, but he's probably still a little bit underrated. But I've been amazed by his progress this year. He's done it exactly as you'd expect a stayers hurdle contender to really do. You know, you think back to the likes of Paisley Park, especially a Paisley Park a couple of years ago. And I thought he was really, really good winning the long walk hurdle. He's one of them horses that's perfect for a stayers hurdle. He looks like a little bit under threat occasionally, but then he just finds that motor and the power towards the end of the line. His course form is fantastic. He ran a huge race in the Coral Cup last year. He's just got that progressive profile. I mean, strong leader. I love the horse, but he's my idea of the Liverpool hurdle winner rather than the Stayers hurdle winner, because he just doesn't seem to fire at Cheltenham for whatever reason. You say Marchand too. This feels like the test for him. Is he a Stayers hurdle contender, or is he going to be going to the Potemps? And I think the latter. So it looks like a really nice opportunity for Impostoire to set himself perfectly up for a stayers hurdle bid, where he's a leading contender for that. I'd say Britain's leading contender, and he's probably still underestimated, even though he's coming up against Teofer in that. But we'll get Saturday out of the way first, where he should win.
Yeah, without doubt, he's been the form horse in the division in Britain, so will definitely be the clear standout at this point, and he could really establish his credentials, couldn't he, Graham?
Yeah, he certainly could. And he's improving at a rate of knots, isn't he, James? I was very impressed with the way he won at Ascot. The strong leader had a bit of a pull in the weights, didn't he, I think, from when they met at Newbury, but still beat him comfortably. He likes Cheltenham Impostoire, which is something that you would have to be a little bit concerned about with regards to strong leader, because all of his best form, to my eye, seems to be away from this track, and I couldn't be having strong leader on my mind as second favourite. I'd be more interested in a couple of the course specialists behind strong leader, and Marshan too being one of them. Obviously loves Cheltenham, but Doddy the Great ran a very strange race behind Impostoire at Ascot last time. I don't really know what the plan was, but they sort of maybe rode him to pick up the pieces, shall we say? That's what our analysts are suggesting in our analysis. But he ended up miles behind at Swindy Bottom before flying home up the running to be beaten less than 10 lengths by the winner. I think that Doddy the Great is the bet here, because he's got good course form at Cheltenham, as I've said. I mean, he won here at the festival. He was second in a big handicap here behind Go Dancy early in his career. And I think that Freddie Gordon will try and make sure that Doddy the Great is a lot closer this time. And if he is, and he finishes like he did at Ascot last time, it wouldn't surprise me if he was to upset his better fancies stablemate. So I'm going to take a chance on Doddy the Great, James.
At 13-2, Doddy the Great. Ed, we've heard from Nick Henson regarding Sugino and, of course, Constitution Hill there just not long ago. He's got a hot favourite here who has been in flying form all season. Are you with the odds-on favourite?
I think he should win, but I'm going to go for an outsider for a bit of each-way value. Expression is often overused, but I'm going to go for each way value, just the six runners. So it would have to get Impostoire or strong leader out of the frame, which is a huge ask. But I'm going to go for a horse that hasn't been mentioned yet. Gal Road, who is another horse that loves Cheltenham, well, runs well at Cheltenham. He's had 14 runs at the track, I think, been placed 5 times, won a couple. And I think there's reasons to suggest that his form figures can be overlooked or can certainly be viewed in a positive light. He ran in a chase, so he's not as good a chaser as he is a hurdler, arguably, and certainly got more experience over hurdles. And then he finished fourth in the Relkill last time. That was over 2.5. He's a 3-miler. He needs further than 2.5, especially on good ground as it was then at Cheltenham. And he's only 8.5 lengths behind the winner, very good winner, giving that winner £6. So it wasn't that bad a performance. There were three negatives there, and he still ran well. In that third place was at the November meeting at Cheltenham. Now, if you cast your minds back, there were differences of opinions between the jockeys. Some went very wide in the soft ground, and some went down the inside or relatively near to the inside of the hurdles. And it was believed afterwards, in hindsight, that that was the wrong place to be, on the inside of the hurdles. Most of the winners came on the outside. Certainly the winner of that race did. And I just thought he ran really well that day. Probably not running in the best ground. Was leading or up there from the off. Certainly jumped the second last upside the winners. And I thought that was a good run. So around about 14, 16 to 1, I just thought it was worth a chance each way. I can see him coming third to scupper my each way bet, but I'm just going to hopefully suggest that he might make the top two.
Okay, Gal Rhodes 11 to 1 now, Ed, with Unibet for the Potemps Network Cleeve Hurdle. That's it for Cheltenham. So let's move on to Doncaster and Free Live Races on ITV. Starting with the 12:55, the Virgin Bet Daily Extra Places River Don Novices Hurdle. Well, we get a bit of a rematch from a Chepstow race not too long ago with Carlin Rigg, who was second that day at 9-2, along with Rocking Man, who won it for Sam Thomas. Carlin Rigg has since gone and won at Cheltenham, though. So an interesting battle between these two. Round two, they're both 9-2 joint favourites. The Devil You Know at 5-1. Kakul La at 11-2. Country Code at 7-1. The Price of Peace for Rebecca Curtis at 17-2. Fountains Blindham 12-1, along with Into Something Good. Get On George at 14s. The Last Cloud also 14s. Kent DeVay 25s. And Caught In Your Trance, the 50-1 outsider. Matt, we talk about a bit of a rematch between the two at the top of the market. Will one of them prevail, or will something else?
I'm with the top two in the market, and no spoilers, but I might be one of many on the day that fancies this Rocking Man. You know, he's already proven he can do it well after a long old break, and he really put Carlin Rigg to the sword at Chepstow. He's getting £5 this time, so I think, and also think Carlin Rigg, it wasn't the strongest of grade twos that he won at Cheltenham. There's been better runnings, basically. Yeah. So at the weights and at the prices, I think Rocking Man is hugely overpriced, to be honest with you. And that's my case for him. I can't believe he's not shorter, to be honest with you.
Matt, I don't say this often, but I fully believe every word you've just said there, and I fully agree with every word you've just said. Not so much whenever we talk about football on the other hand. Matt, being a Sunderland fan, striding high in the Premier League. Graham, one big shout for Rocking Man. I'm in the Rocking Man too camp. Are you rocking as well?
I'm not. No. I like the Joel Parkinson and Sue Smith trained Get On George, because I was taken with the way that he won at the track last time, over 2.5. He was going nowhere coming to the final flight in third place, but he really powered up the running to beat Draco Malfoy. What a great name that is. Old Harry Potter villain, by two lengths. And I thought that he did all of his best work near the line. He is going to improve significantly for going up to 3 mile half furlong. Whether he's good enough or not, we're going to find out here, James. But I am absolutely sure that the longer trip is going to bring out some improvement from Get On George.
Yeah, some regular podcast listeners and viewers will know just how much Keith Melrose thinks of Joel Parkinson and Sue Smith Yard this season. He's been speaking about them for quite a while as to a yard to follow. Perhaps they will be the ones to follow with Get On George at 14-1. Ed, what's your verdict here?
Yeah, I'm in the Rocking Man camp. I was at Chepstow when he won, and he beat Carlin Rigg three lengths, getting £3. He, as you say, he gets £5. On Saturday. Obviously, Carlin Rigg won that grade two at Cheltenham, which is probably why he's vying for favouritism. But there's lots of positives for Rocking Man. That was his first run for 19 months. That was his first ever hurdle run. He's bound to improve. He's up in trip, which, the way the race was run, he took it on early from the flagfall in the style of a horse that needed every yard of that 2.5. And he got taken on down the back straight. He was only in third place. Always going well, but in third place coming to straight and then just powered home. On the other hand, the Skelton's Carlin Rigg was always going well right at the back, and the jockey was ever so confident, pulling at least two pairs of goggles down. I always think that's a sign of a jockey when he's confident and he wants to look good in front of the cameras. And he picked up well, but Rocky Man just picked up from the front and got first run in him, as far as I could see, and did it well. He's another horse that jumps his hurdles like he's a chase already. He made a couple of mistakes that day as well. I think Rocky Man will go off favourite. I think he'd go off maybe half the odds of the odds we can get at the moment. And I think he's a cracking bet at the price at the present time, and expect him to make it 2 from 2. He's 50 to 1 for the Grade 1 Turners. I was half tempted to have a few quid on that, you know, before this race. Carlin Riggs 16 to 1 for the Turners. So it's quite interesting, the two anti-post odds. And most of us fancy the Rocky Man to be Carlin Riggs here. So maybe that's worth a little look as well in the anti-post market. Oh, sorry. One thing I should say, James, is that we are going money back second or third. It's not a race we usually do our flagship offer on, but because it's at 12:55, one of the earliest races on ITV, we're doing money back second or third. If your horse doesn't win but finishes second or third, you'll get your money back. That's any bet from 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Ed. And should also say Rocky Man 33 to 1 for the Albert Bartlett. Carlin Riggs 25 to 1 for the Albert Bartlett. If that race is going to be their targets at the Cheltenham Festival, I'm with Rocky Man as well. And Ed touches on the price. He was backed massively that day at Chepstow. So there was a bit of a word around how good this horse could be. I agree. I think this price at 92 will certainly shorten. We'll see on Saturday afternoon. Move on to the 150, the Virgin Bet, a good bet. Yorkshire Rose Mares Hurdle, a Grade 2 event, where we've got an Irish trained favourites here in Feet of a Dancer for Paul Nolan at 9-4, Jatara at 5-2, Dream On Baby 11-2, along with Battle Dumas, Levida Davida at 8-1, Roccolo Vogue in great form this season for the David Killahena and Graham McPherson Yard at 14-1, Mousy Brown at 20-1, Pottersville, the outsider, at 28-1. Matt, you can kick us off. What do you like in the Grade 2 at Doncaster?
Same as last year. I'm going with the Jatara again. I thought she was so game when she was winning it last year against Katira, who we know. Yeah, I know Katira's beaten last time at Doncaster, but she did slam Golden Ace already this season. Look, and she went on after that race, Jatara, to go finish third in the Grade 1 Liverpool Hurdle at Aintree. She does have to put a poor run behind Teopi behind her, but this is far easier company, and be easier to give away £2 to her nearest rivals in this than in other races. I think she's tailor-made at this trip, really, whereas I have some reservations if Feet of a Dancer, does she really stay the 3 miles? So, simple, same time, same place as last year. James Burrow, Jesse Harrington and Jatara for me.
Okay, keeping it simple, Matt. What about you, Ed?
Well, it's quite ironic that the top three in the market all coming over from Ireland for this Grade 2 mares race. But the horse that's fourth in the market, That'll Do Moss, went over to Ireland and finished second in a Grade 1 back at Fairy House last year, and actually won the award from the Thoroughbred Breeders Association for best UK mare over hurdles last season. And That'll Do Moss, I think, will do for me. She looks really good when she finished second at 50-1 at Fairy House. And because of that, I put her in my diary to follow this year. Spoke to the guys who run Diva Racing, who own her, and they said it took a bit of time for her to come to hand this year. That run at Kempton was certainly needed. Then at Sandown on the Unibet Veterans Day, she ran in the Mayor's Hurdle, the Unibet Mayor's Hurdle. She finished third behind Nurse Susan and Jubilee Alpha. But that was a good run. I've watched it back a couple of times. I remember at the time thinking it was a good run. Good ground, and she needs deeper ground. It's soft. And this is her first run over 3 miles. Now, if you've ever seen a horse that needs further than 2.5 miles, she was that. When if you look at the Sandown run, she lost her. She was going quite well, lost her position and ran on late. The softer ground will definitely suit. It is her first attempt at 3 miles. And we all know horses look as if they will stay 3 miles when they run over shorter, then they don't. But as long as she kind of ups her game and improves for the distance, which I think she will, I don't think she needs to improve that much. And I think she'll beat the three Irish horses and win for Fergal O'Brien and Johnny Burke. I think she's a good bet. I think that last run was a real eye-catching run to me on ground and distance that wouldn't have suited. And as I say, I think she hasn't come to hand quickly this year. And I think she'll be cherry ripe on Saturday.
Okay, That'll Do Moss at 11-2. Finish us off, Graham.
I think Jatara is just better than these, James. I think that she is a class apart. She's top on BHA figures. She's top on RPRs, yet she's not favourite. What's a shame that our friend Johnny Pearson isn't here, because, of course, she did outstay Katira last time. We had a right old knockabout about Katira last month, didn't we? It was quite amusing. I would have loved to have given him some stick about that. But nevertheless, I think Jatara will go back-to-back, just like Matt says.
I'm sure you've given him some stick in between, Ed. Graham, haven't you?
Well, maybe I might have just tapped him up quickly after that race last month. It was quite enjoyable to watch, that's for sure.
It certainly was, yeah. We certainly like to follow our selections through on Saturday afternoons. Let's see if we can do it in the Virgin Bet Great Yorkshire Chase. This is the big race at Doncaster on Saturday at 2:05. We've got a horse who's got a load of big entries, or could not so big entries, but big potential entries, I should say, this season in Grand Geest for that Joel Parkinson and Sue Smith operation. He is a 100-30 favourite for the big one at Donny. Deep Cave, of course, anyone who remembers the postcast, we had that Christmas present for you. Three of our tips is tipping up Deep Cave at 11-1 at Ascot, only 7-2. On Saturday afternoon, Doc Pick Me, Doncaster Specialist at 11-2, Walking on Air 13-2, Josh the Boss at 15-2, King's Threshold, Dartmoor Pirates, and New Order 11-1, Kelsey at 14s, and Joyo Mashan at 16-1. Talk us through the Great Yorkshire Chase, Graham.
Love this race. It's a really good one, isn't it? And you've got loads of improving handicap chasers, obviously Grand Jest and Deep Cave, both coming in off the back of, well, good wins last time. However, Deep Cave certainly got a lot of weight, and Grand Jest is quite exposed too. And I quite like one who is also weight, but lightly raced over fences, certainly than Deep Cave. And that is Josh the Boss. He's had four starts over fences, but one of them was a walkover, so we're not going to count that as one, are we? The other one was in a two-runner race at Warwick, so, I mean, you know, we didn't really learn much about him, should we say. But his last two starts, he's looked to be progressing quite well. He was successful at the track over 2.5 in November, and then last time out produced another improved performance behind Prairie Wolf at Aintree. And I think the key to Josh the Boss here is going to be stepping up to 3 miles for the first time. Like I said already, I mean, Grand Jest has had the same amount of starts as Josh the Boss, but he's already run over 3 miles. DK, we've seen him over 3 miles. You know, we have yet to see what Josh the Boss can do over 3 miles, and I think that he's going to improve significantly for the step up in trip. And as a result, he might just have a little bit more in hand of the handicapper than those at the top of the market. And he's a fair old price for Twist and Davis stable that won this last, well, in the last 10 years with Go Conquer. I can't remember when it was, but I remember that was winning.
Yep. Okay. So a strong fancy for Josh the Boss for the Twist and Davis team. What's your verdict here, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to, you know, hear that everyone's with up and coming handicappers, but in the race itself, and four of the last 10 runnings have gone to horses aged 10 or older. And I'm going to chance on the olden guns to strike with Doc Pick Me again. Same time, same place as last year. Look, he thrives at Doncaster. He's won three, finished runner up in five, in, you know, five starts there. Just so one disappointment. He has got more to do off a mark of 1-3-1, but horses for courses, he absolutely improved a stone here. The big worry is the Joel Parkinson and Sue Smith horse, given the Tommy Whittle. He was deeply exposed into it and looked brilliant, to be honest. And he could be rocketing up the handicap as quick as we want to think. But I'm going to stick with Doc Pick Me just purely because he's brilliant over the course and trip, and conditions will be in his favour as well. So and Charlie Maggs gets a brilliant tune out of him. He's good and well worth his claim.
He certainly is. 11-2, Doc Pick Me could be good value for money as well, according to Matt Rennie. Ed, finish us off. The 2:05 at Doncaster.
Yeah, great race. Always a good race. Same as the other guys. I really like this race. And there are any number of horses that can win it. It really is an open contest, as it usually is year after year. But I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go for a young, improving horse who's got a lot of weight, which sounds counterintuitive, really, but I'm going to go for Deep Cave to follow up that brilliant win at Ascot. He's only put up a couple of pounds. I mean, the handicapper couldn't do much more than that, the way the race was run, I suppose, but he looks a horse who's capable. I think on that day, I said he's a mid-150 horse, I think, in the podcast, when we all tipped him at 11s, and I still think he is. I think, what do you reckon you need to get into the Grand National this year? 145, 150, maybe? But, so I think they've got the Grand National in their mind, and if ever they wanted to go up more than £2 for winning a race, the Christian Williams, it probably was that day at Ascot to try and get into the Grand National, because I believe that's the aim. Although his jumping isn't great, and he is still relatively inexperienced. He's only had 5 chases and 3 runs. But anyway, that's for another day. I think here he'll enjoy the race, the way the race is run, the kind of track at Doncaster. It lends itself to front runners, which tends to mean in these races they go pretty quick. He's not a front runner, but he'll be in just behind the leaders, I would have thought, and a fast run race over 3 miles with soft ground, I think, is probably what he needs off 141. And Jack Tudor is a master on these kind of handicap chases, isn't he? Especially for Christian Williams. He's won so many big races for Christian in these type of races. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Deep Cave. He's an improving chaser. Until he's beat, I'm going to keep backing him, I think.
Okay, he is on Saturday 7-2 and 40-1 with Unibet for the Grand National as well.
James, we should just mention here, right, because just in case it goes and wins, right, we should just mention Walking On Air just quickly, because this is the Glenn Gooley team, isn't it? The Faye Bramley, and now Tony McCoy owns this yard. It looks like a right old plot job, this, doesn't it, Walking On Air? He's come down massively in the weights, and Faye Bramley, when she books like a top jockey, they go close, don't they? I think she's 2 for 6 when Sean Bowen rides. I think she's 4 from 8 when Harry Cobden gets up. She stuck Brian Hughes on this first time that he's ridden for her, that I can see. The first time that he's ridden a horse. They're sticking tongue-tying pieces on this Walking On Air. It was a good horse for Nicky Henderson years ago.
Yeah.
When it bolted up one day at Newbury and looked an absolute world-beater. I mean, I might have even backed it for one of the novice hurdles. If there is a horse that's going to blow this race apart, right, it could be Walking On Air. But he's been beaten 77 lengths, pulled up 23 lengths, fell 34 lengths, 80-odd lengths, you know. But you just know with this yard, it's shrewd yard, and they've got a proper jockey on it, and they're putting their headgear on. It just stinks of a plot job, this Walking On Air. I'm going to back Josh the Boss, but I'm really worried about getting done by the Glenn Gooley team Walking On Air.
Didn't he fall in this race last year, I think, didn't he, at the last?
Fell in this race, went very competitive, and may well have won. So much so, he went off at 7-1 in the Kim Yule. So definitely right to flag that one, Graham. I'm glad you did, because Walking On Air could definitely be one of the lurkers in a big field. But let's move on. We'll have our best bets after this quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, before we come on to our best bets, we'll just quickly hear any other selections. And Graham, you have got one up your sleeve for us. What is it?
Yeah, 3:13 at Doncaster. It's a good little 2-mile handicap chase. And I've been waiting for Brookie to come back to Doncaster for a while, James. He was good here last year when he beat On Public, who also likes flat left-handed tracks quite comfortably. He went on to compete in Grade 1 novice races afterwards, bumped into the likes of Callister Burleys and Majborough at Punchestown. Brookie, I mean, this is going to be a lot easier for him. He hasn't shone yet this season, but he's running hot races at Cheltenham and Ascot. This would be a bit easier for him. Coming back to Donny will suit him. I think that Brookie will run really well, 3:13 at Doncaster.
Thank you very much. I'll give you Taurus Bay in the last at Cheltenham as well at 4:10. Did an interview night with Ben Poulin the other week. He was absolutely adamant this horse is going to run a massive race in the 4:10 at Cheltenham on Saturday. Before we come on to those best bets, Ed, what offers have you got up your sleeve for us?
Plenty. Let's go through them race by race, as it were. Cheltenham, first of all, 1:15 with top industry price from 11 o'clock on Saturday in that 2.5 mile chase, the Jaguar chase. In 1:50, we're extra place for the cross country. Then we go over to the final, the 3:35, the Cleve Hurdle. We're super boosting that race with Impose Etoire in that contest. And then over at Doncaster, we've got money back second or third in the 12:55. And we've also got super boost in the 2:05, that big Great Yorkshire chase.
Thank you very much, Ed. It's that time in the show where we find out all the best bets for your Saturday afternoon. And Graham Rodway, kick us off.
2:05 at Doncaster, the Great Yorkshire Chase. I'm going to stick with Josh the Boss.
Okay, that is Josh the Boss. Ed, 22-1 winning nap 2 weeks ago. 4 winners on the show last week. What's going to win for us?
Well, hopefully, that'll do Moss in the 1:30 at Doncaster. An English mare taking on 3 Irish contenders have come over to Doncaster in that Grade 2. I think she's needed a couple of runs, and this 3 miles on soft ground should really suit her. So that'll do Moss. That'll do for me.
In the 1:30 at Doncaster. I'm going at Doncaster as well. The 12:55 Rocking Man. Just feel this horse could well be an outsider to watch for the Cheltenham Festival. I think he wins the River Don at a really good price. Rocking Man in the 12:55. And finally, Matt Rennie.
We'll play it safe. We'll go with Jaguar, 1:15 Cheltenham. He could just be a class above his rivals.
Jaguar in the big race. Thank you very much to our panellists. If you're watching along, that's Matt Rennie in the top right, bottom left, Graham Rodway, and Unibet's Ed Nicholson in the bottom right. If you're a fan of the show, do make sure to get in touch. What do you like on Saturday? Have we got anything wrong? Have we got one right, potentially? Let us know what you think ahead of an action-packed weekend. And, of course, rate, review and subscribe, because we've got loads of content to come in the build-up to the Cheltenham Festival. As for now, thank you very much for watching along. You can join us again next week at 7 o'clock on Thursday for another preview of the weekend action, where it is, of course, the Dublin Racing Festival, among other big weekend in Britain. So do make sure to join us for that. As for now, though, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy all the action from wherever you are watching. And, of course, gamble responsibly.